Good morning. So, today's kind of a neat message. Well, I think it is. This is totally a God thing because Matt, not very smart. But I'm going to give you some passages. Does anybody need a pen? Doug, if you need one, Doug will pass them out. But I titled this one, "Do You Trust Me, God?" And I meant that as God speaking to me. Do you trust me? Funny thing about trust. As parents, what do we tell our kids? You have to what? Earn my trust. They do something wrong, and they may tell a fib about it. We go into the, "Now I don't trust you." Guys, if we apply what God has done for us to our life, we don't deserve God's trust. But He did it. He did it before we were born. Before we were even thought of, other than by God, He sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins that you and I commit 2,000 years later. I'm going to start with this morning a poem I found. And I'm not a literature buff or anything, so I'm going to try to read this the way it's supposed to be read. "I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics in the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Bob, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus, 'What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child,' he said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you." So then at the bottom it says, "Judge not. Remember, just going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future." So that was kind of cool. And it doesn't really tie in with trust, but yet it does, because guys, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we lift You up, Lord, and we know that You love us, even though we've done nothing to deserve it, Lord. Lord, just take the words that You want to be brought out today, Lord, and let us trust You fully with everything that we have, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. So the definition of trust: firm belief in reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So it doesn't say a partial belief. It says a firm belief. What do we have firm belief in here on earth? Our spouse. Our kids. Now the belief starts getting a little shaky, right? I'm kidding. But in reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Guys, He demonstrated the ultimate strength and the ultimate ability to come and touch somebody like me. I'm going to tell you something. I don't deserve God's love. That probably doesn't come as a shock to anybody here. But he gives it anyway. That's pretty cool. So I'm going to give... In the Old Testament, the word trust is used 134 times. That's something I read. Something I looked up. I didn't find it all 134 times. But I came up with 10 passages through studies that I thought were pretty important. Some of them I'll read. Some of them I want you to just look at, find yourself. But let's go to Proverbs. I love this one, so we're going to use it. And it's Proverbs chapter 3. And over in my, it's been preached before, and I don't know by who, but it over in my border of my Bible, I said, this is the passage that we use to cure doubt. And it's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. And I know before we've talked about the paths, right? We've talked about the wide path, we've talked about the narrow path. Guys, this scripture is telling you, if you trust in God, He'll make your path straight. And it's straight to heaven. It's not going to be easy here on earth, but it is straight to heaven. Here's the hard part of that passage. Because we all take school very seriously. And we, in today's age, we think, you know, a college education is the way to go. I question that. But it says, lean not on your own understanding. God doesn't care what you know. He doesn't. He'll teach you everything you need to know. Because when we start leaning on our own understanding, what happens? We put God in the back pocket. We save Him because we want to pull Him out when we really need Him. I got this, God. I got this. And then I've spoke before about that 2x4 that hits me on the back of the head. Right? So that's your first passage that I really liked about. And I'll get into some story later, but I want to use some of these verses. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Guys, if I could just paint that on our car frame and paint that somewhere so that everywhere we go, it's right here. He's with us everywhere we go. Even sometimes, if we go where we shouldn't go. God doesn't leave us. We choose to leave God. Isaiah 41. Verse 10. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, guys, He doesn't leave us. He's going to strengthen us in every situation if we allow Him to. Now, sometimes we have a trust issue. Anybody have any of those? That's good. I'm the only one. Perfect. Because, man, I don't trust a lot of things. Unfortunately, without being political, I'm in a place where I don't trust our government because we've turned away from God. We've turned away from God. And it scares me, some of the things that our government does. You know, you may or may not know this. Lindsay's getting deployed in March. for 7 months, and that scares the daylights out of me. And she's going to Qatar, which I don't even know where that's at. I just know it's in the Middle East, right? And the more we're learning about this, and, you know, man, it scares me. But you know what? At the end of the day, I trust God to do what's right by women. And she's going to see things, and she's going to be in situations where I hope she trusts God. And she does. But that's going to be a tough haul. And it's hard for me to let go, because for all these years, my kids, and all of our kids, not just mine, all of our kids, what do? They have an endless amount of trust in their parents, right? When they're little, they trust you for everything. They don't have a care in the world. That's why I love it when Jesus said, let the little ones come to me, you know? Because they trust me fully. And our kids are like that. Guys, there comes a time, when Chris and I are there, we have to trust everything God laid on us as young parents that we instilled in our kids, what God wanted to be instilled in our kids, and we have to trust Him with our kids. Some of us reach that age earlier, some of us don't, or later, but I'm learning a lot every day. And I know that I've learned to trust God with all of our situations in our lives, not just our kids, but, you know, our finances, our jobs. A quick story. I get a text Friday night from my boss, and it goes out to our group. And we have a guy that's like our, I don't know, he's like head of our cooler repair guys, and he's mid-40s, maybe 50, I don't know. He passed away. Don't know that he was sick, hasn't missed any work. He passed away. And man, that kind of hit home with me. Is, have you trusted me? Have you trusted me? Do you trust me in this situation? Because I don't know why that happened. But I know something good will come out of it. John 16. I'm not going to read this one, but it's John 16:30. So I'll give you a few of these now. 1 Peter 5:7, Isaiah 43:2, Psalm 121. We're going to read that one, starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 4. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. What's that say? It says, guys, listen. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what time of year it is. I don't care what's going on. Our God is going to watch over us every minute of every day. We don't deserve that. But He does it. Now, as a guy who likes some sleep, you know, when my kids were younger, when they would go on a date or whatever, and I was younger, I would be waiting up for them at midnight or 11:45. Well, I think they must have earned my trust, because now, 9 o'clock, I still go to bed. And at noon or at midnight when they get home, or 11:45 when they get home, they say, I'm home. Okay? And I don't always hear that. Worse yet, Chris now always doesn't hear that. It used to be, Chris could be 3 blocks away, And if one of the girls would squawk in their crib, she was on it. Now I'm pretty sure I'm trusting on my daughters to where if the house catches on fire, they better come tell me because I may sleep through it. Okay? But that trust, my point was God never sleeps. I can't stay awake till midnight anymore. God does not sleep or slumber on us. He is there for us 24/7, 365, for infinity. That's pretty sweet. Romans 15:5 is another verse that talks about trust. John 14:27 and Matthew 19:26. Okay, so all the prelim work is done. Now I want to get into where I really want to take the message from. And I've said before I'm a people learner. And that's the way I'm going to teach today because God laid it on my heart that that's where He wants me. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 18 through 23. And I know this has been preached on before. I believe Matt gave a message on this before. And Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Guys, do we have that kind of trust in our Lord? This guy's daughter died. But he knew if Jesus went and laid his hands on her, she will live. We sell our God short because, man, I might be 50 bucks short this week. You gotta trust God for that. He's raising people from the dead, people. You don't think he can come up with $50 in your bank account? You don't think he can teach you to let go and to just trust in him? You don't think he can guide your kids where they need to go? Raising people from the dead. Here's the next part. This is what I really love. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I can only touch his cloak, I will be healed." And guys, faith and trust are different things, but tied together. Do you trust your God like this woman trusted Jesus? I hope so. I hope so. Sometimes we get bogged down in life. We try to fix it ourselves. Guys, this is a perfect example. This woman just wanted to touch his cloak. Didn't even want to talk to him. Just wanted to touch his short shirt as he was walking by, and she knew he was going to be healed. There was no question in her mind she would be healed by the touch of Jesus. Guys, Jesus wants so much more than just a glancing touch with us. He wants that deep, loving relationship where we talk to Him every single day. So if you think He wants that kind of relationship with us, but He can't fix something in your life, I'm trying to tell you, He can. Turn it over to Him. Let Him have it all because He can fix it. And then you're going to say, well, sometimes he doesn't. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he wants us to grow. All the time he wants us to grow. Sometimes we're not willing to grow without some adversity. but turn it over to him. I love Jesus' response. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. Your faith, and I'm going to insert trust, has healed you. And a woman was healed from that moment. Do we understand what really was ailing this woman? 12 years of bleeding. Take that to today's life. 20 years of being a sinner. I turn it over. I'm healed. I'm healed. It's that simple. It's that simple. If we trust, we have faith, and we love our God, there is nothing we can't do because God's going to do it for us. That story doesn't end there. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." And then these people did the most dangerous thing in the world. But they laughed at him. Guys, we have examples of where somebody laughed at Jesus before, God before him. What happened? They couldn't talk for a while. These people laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand and she got up. And then news of this spread through the region. Guys, Jesus wants to do something in your life to show you how much he loves you. But do we trust him enough to let him have our lives to do it? That's pretty wild right there. It's pretty wild. Let's turn to Matthew 14. And I'm giving you some different examples of people throughout the Bible. Some believers, some non-believers, some disciples. The key thing is here, these people either trusted God or they didn't. Jesus walks on water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. First of all, the amazing thing to me is he's telling his disciples, "Guys, I don't need you. I'll get rid of the people. I'll tell them where we're going." He didn't have to do that. He could have had those 12 disciples form a ring around him, got in the boat, and went. Left the disciples there to deal with the crowd. But he didn't. What's that tell me? That tells me that Jesus is personable. Okay? Jesus wants that one-on-one relationship. After he had dismissed them, he went on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So Jesus sent the disciples and then stayed there at night. Now I can imagine the disciples, they get out on the boat and they're probably thinking, "Man, I guess quiet sleep now because that crowd is gone, right? But man, the winds are blowing. I couldn't sleep on a boat. Chris will never go on a boat. We got boats bigger in this church now, and Chris still is not going to go on a boat, which is fine. I think it'd be fun, but at the end of the day, I don't know if I could do it. So cruise is not on my bucket list." But these guys went, and they probably were sleeping. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Now, can you imagine waking up? You know, I'm assuming somebody was still awake. And then, I know what it's like getting people out of bed at my house, me included. Chris is a morning person. That's about it. This morning I went in and I love to just go in and flip the lights on and see the reactions. Lindsay's too smart for me because she installed a ceiling fan that the fan runs and I can't just flip the switch. So I just open her door and yell at her. But the other two, I flip the light switch on and watch them. And, you know, you get that, That's what I imagine the disciples that had to be woke were like, oh, getting stuff out of their eyes. And they look out and they see Jesus coming and they get scared. Now, these are guys that have spent a lot of time with Jesus. Don't you imagine they would have recognized him? But then I think back to what I'm like in the morning. I'm not sure if I'd recognize my wife from a distance. Early in the morning. I probably would. But they said, it's a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. You know, and these guys crack me up because they should trust when he says, don't be afraid. What else you got to do? Right? But here's old Peter. You got to love Peter. He said, Lord, if it's you, prove it to me. Tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus is like, come on. Come on. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Guys, I don't know about you, but if Jesus tells me to get out of the boat and walk on the water that he's walking on, that'd be pretty sweet. Right? That'd be pretty sweet. But Peter panics, starts to sink, and he says, save me. And then I think about my life and I think, how many times as Jesus asked me to get out of the boat. And I may do it, I may not. But when I do it, the first time something bad happens, what do? I cry out and say, God, save me, I don't know what I'm doing. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Ye of little faith, why did you doubt and not trust? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Duh. Again, these guys, and I bring the disciples up because, guys, these are guys that spent a lot of time with Jesus every single day. And they had doubts. They had times when they didn't trust. They had times when they didn't know what was going to happen. Don't think you're alone when you doubt or you don't trust fully. Because Jesus uses imperfect people to do perfect. That blows my mind. We're going to move on. I could preach on that for days. But we're going to give you one more example of time of trust. Matthew 20. And verses 29 through 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. I would have loved to have been one of the disciples. Because you can learn so much. But I would have loved to have been in that crowd as they're walking along the streets. And these two blind guys, two beggars, I mean, for lack of a better term, they're beggars sitting alongside the road. And they said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And my interpretation of this is Jesus hears the word Lord and he stops. And then, because I'm a cartoon guy, grew up on cartoons, you ever seen the Tom and Jerry's where Jerry might stop and or somebody might stop and then it's like a chain reaction where the rest of the characters just... That's what I envisioned the crowd doing, was just everybody bumping into each other because Jesus stops abruptly and says... Somebody just called out. Guys, he hears our cries every single day. Even when you think, "There's no way, I got so much junk in my life, there's no way Jesus is going to hear me cry out." He heard them cry out. The amazing thing to me was, I assume they were on a road that probably wasn't very traveled. And when you have a crowd and a following like Jesus had, these guys probably had to know, "Man, is Jesus coming here? All those people coming?" Right? But would you and I have the trust to cry out to the Lord right there and say, "Lord, have mercy on me"? It's a simple act. We get scared. We get scared. Because why? Because we start thinking about all the other junk. It was simple for these guys. "Lord, have mercy on us." And here, Jesus says, "What do you guys want me to do?" He knew full well. He says, "Restore our sight." Boop, boop, done. Guys, God can do anything in your life. We have to be bold. We have to be bold in our faith. We have to be bold in our trust. And we have to be bold in our love. He did. He gave us the example. Quit worrying about everything else. Focus on our God. Trust our God. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. I'm not telling you to go sell your cars and sell your house and do all that. What I'm telling you is turn some of those things that you worry about over to God. Because I know what happens in my house. When I worry about something, there's 14 other things that pop up because I worry about this little itty-bitty thing. And then that makes my attitude towards my wife and my kids not where it should be. And then that creates more reasons for worry. And pretty soon I got a big snowball worry. And if I just turn it over, now we're human. Are we still going to worry about some stupid stuff? Sure. But you know what? Turn it over to God. I got to have it. He wants it. He died on the cross for it. He rose from the dead to beat death for you here today. For me here today. What an awesome God we serve. But when we worry, and we don't trust, and we don't love like we should, and we don't do other things like we should, you know what happens? We get what we deserve sometimes. And it has to bring us back to God. Because eventually we're all going to turn to God. And that's the funny thing. How come when things are great, we don't give God the glory? We like to say, yeah, look at me. I got three kids. They're all pretty successful. My wife, pretty cool. Got a good car. Got a good house. I did that. Guess what? Guess what? God giveth, and He can take us away. He doesn't want to do that. He wants us to have everything we need and we want. We don't get everything we want all the time. But when we trust Him and we turn everything we own over to Him, let Him have it. Let Him have it. The hardest thing we ever did, and I've shared this before, we were having some financial issues. And when we turned everything over to the Lord, even as simple as a cable bill, guess what? He took it. He took it. And then you start seeing other things in your life open up as avenues you can go and share what He did. And that's pretty cool. But it all starts right here. It starts with our heart. And it starts with what we put in here. What comes out of here? Guys, my challenge to you is to trust Him. Because guess what? We say trust is earned. He's earned it. But my contrast to that is, what did we do to earn God's trust to do that? Nothing. Nothing. He trusts us and loves us free of anything. Because I sure don't deserve it. You can ask my wife and my kids. Sometimes they're so mad at me, they think I don't deserve to go to bed. I'm being a little fictitious. But, guys, we don't deserve God's love. But He gives it anyway because He wants a one-on-one relationship with you. And the number one thing relationships are built off of is trust. You know, when Chris and I first dated, quick story. I wasn't sure I trusted Chris because she couldn't give me directions to her house. Cross the one road, go on another road, and then turn right onto this road. Right on. Turns out those roads were, you cross 13 at Kokosing and go on to, I don't even know what, Miami Avenue, I don't know what it is, and turn right onto Taylor Street, and we're the fifth house. Okay? But you know what? From the time I showed up at Taylor Street, Chris and I knew from minute number one, when I met Chris a little. But when I met her family, I knew this is where I was supposed to be. And that was pretty cool because I had put my trust in God because, man, I was kind of a homely fella, kind of chunky, right? I was like, man, I'm never going to get married. But I put my trust in God. And the funny thing is, I put my trust in God, but I didn't have the courage. Chris actually asked me on our first date. And from that day, number one, I mean, we both knew at the end of the day that this is something we wanted to pursue. That's a God thing. That's not because Matt's great or Chris is great. That's a God thing, putting us in our, the two of us in a path to cross and to meet. And that's pretty cool to me, because I would have not have picked someone from Fredericktown. Okay? Or Mount Gilead. But God knew what I needed at that moment in my life. And He gave Chris to me. And me, more importantly, me to Chris. She really needed me in her life. No, I'm kidding. But my point is, from that day forward, we trusted God that we were supposed to be together, and it wasn't very long, and we were married. So that was pretty cool. And God has opened doors for us, and God has blessed our lives. And, you know, I've learned to trust Him more and more. Until you trust Him with everything, you won't see how great He can be. My challenge is to let go of what we hold on to. Give it to Him. Give it to Him in prayer. Give it to Him in conversation, because I know y'all talk to Him in the car when you're driving. And just see what He can do. You know, I've had a lot of people that have said, you know, that stuff really works. Yeah, it's proven. It's tried. When these people in here started turning away from God, bad things happened. When they turned back to God and they let Him have stuff, He did great things. I'll leave you with this. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These dudes were thrown into a furnace at 3,000 degrees. And what'd they do? They walked around seeing God's praise. Don't try that at home. But and when they shut the furnace down, these guys were like not harmed. Clothes were not burnt. I mean, it's amazing. That's what God can do with your life today if you trust Him. So with that, I'm going to close. Hey, Shelby, Morgan, can you go get Jesse, please? And we're going to offer a time of invitation. And guys, if you have trust, whether you have trust or you have trust issues, a lot of people have been hurt. It's hard to give up, right? God wants nothing but the best from you, for you. So as we sing this last song, I don't even know what it is, but I guarantee God had a plan. If you need prayer, if you need anything from us, Jesse and I will be here. You certainly do not have to come forward. If you have someone that you fully trust in this congregation, perfect. You know, just because Jesse and I are here, we're not any closer to God than anybody else. But we love to pray for you. We may not have the answers right away, but we will pray fervently through that. And pray that God gives you the answers you want. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we thank You for all the examples that You've provided for us and all of the situations that the people 2,000 years ago were in. Lord, we can still live and learn from today. Lord, we love You and we thank You that You trusted us enough to send Your Son, and You loved us enough to send Your Son to die for us and to be raised again to beat death, Lord. Given us that hope. Lord, we love You and we praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen.